God has his ways of keeping us humble, doesn't he? I love him for it. As I was working on this message, I was thinking back when the last time was I had the opportunity to share a sermon with you, and it was, I believe, February. And the world was a lot different then. It's changed a bunch, and I think we can all agree that most of the changes that have happened, we don't really like them so much. You know, the ones I'm referring to, the changes that we've had to adopt and do because of COVID-19. Things like masks. We're sitting in every other pew. There's caution tape there between the other pews that we can't use. Hand sanitizer everywhere. How many hand sanitizer companies have been recalled hand sanitizing? Like with all these, like, what is that about? So many of the things we've taken for granted, going to restaurants, just plain meeting with people, standing in the foyer talking, little things we took for granted that we just can't do now. And then there's a lot of big things, sickness, unfortunately, and many people, it's been many people across the world that have perished. There's been financial crisis, job losses. I could go on. These are the things, vacations, endless things that have been changed, and we have this new world order, so to speak, because of it. We don't necessarily like those things, but God is working through this, and we're going to explore some scriptures today and dig a little deeper and talk about why maybe God has allowed some of these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. I pray you would welcome each of us to your house today, personally, whether we're here in person or we're listening to the podcast online right any time of day or any day. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would welcome us, welcome each and every one of us. Show us your love, reveal to your truth to us in our hearts and in our minds that we may walk a little bit more like Jesus after we hear your word today. Help me to share accurately and with love from your word, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You do realize that God has allowed this epidemic, right? COVID-19. You know that? God allowed that? Hear me, I didn't say God caused it, but he has allowed it. I realize some of you may not like what I just said. Others may ask, what kind of God would allow something like this to happen? You want an answer to that? It's the same God that sent his son Jesus to the cross, to suffer, to die, to be separated from his Father, the Holy God. He did it for you and for me. We talked about that in communion. He did it that our sins may be forgiven. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to pay the price of our debt and eternity in hell. That's the kind of God that's allowed this to happen. The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the kind of God that has allowed this. And he's the same God that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the God that has allowed this. To clarify further, what does the Bible say about what God allows? We'll go to Lamentations 3, 37 and 38. Who can command things to happen without the Lord's permission? Does not the Most High send both calamity and good? Let me repeat that. Who can command things to happen without the Lord's permission? Does not the Most High send both calamity and good? In Isaiah 45, 7, I create the light and make the darkness. I send the good times and the bad times. I, the Lord, am the one who does these things. It doesn't leave much room for doubt as to who's in charge, does it? It's pretty firm. God's in charge. End of story. Again, I'm not saying God set this pandemic loose on the world or that he takes any pleasure in the suffering it has caused. I want to be clear about that. But I do believe he allowed it and that he has an ultimate purpose behind it. Actually, I believe he has multiple purposes behind it, because that's who God is. God is the master chess player who has every move planned before the pieces ever come out of the box. Nothing gets by him. He will bring glory to himself, and he will build his church through this. I want to encourage you in that. He will build his church through this. And when I say build his church, I'm not only referring to putting people in these pews. It's big picture stuff. Raising up committed Christ followers in the community and in the world at large. Matthew 16:18. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. There's much depth to this verse, but for today, let's just focus on the back half. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And remember, God's church is not just this building. You are God's church. I'm God's church. Believers everywhere are God's church. God said he would build his church, and he will use any and all means to see it accomplished. And it's important to know our version of building the church and God's are not always in alignment. We don't always see it the same. God sees the big picture, right? He sees the whole picture from start to finish and everything in between. We only see a micro fraction of that picture. We need to bow to God's will in building his church and get on board and follow God's direction as he directs how to build his church, even when we don't like the way he seems to be doing it. Remember, it's his church, not ours. Okay, God said he would build his church. Let's take it to a more personal level. Where do we fit in this? Where do you fit in this? I'm going to take a quick look at 1 Peter 2:4. The subtitle says, Living Stones for God's House. Living Stones for God's House. I'm going to point at you again. You are the living stones. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen for God, by God for great honor. And here it comes. And you are the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Wow, were you expecting to come to church today and be told you're a living stone and you're a holy priest? It's right here. 1 Peter 2:4 and 6. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. You are the living stones, holy priests. God is building his church. Jesus is the cornerstone. You are the living stones that he's constructing his worldwide church with. Jesus is using you, those of us that believe in him, to build his church. No pressure. Truly, it isn't, if you're just listening and following the Holy Spirit. So, you know me sometimes from preaching. I'm the guy that likes to ask questions. I don't like it when you just sit here and listen. I think you got to work. I already had to do some work. Now it's your turn. Are you cooperating with him in this task? You are the living stones. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is using you to build his church. Are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit in building the church? What duties has God assigned to you in building his church? Are you completing them? Or are you too busy doing your own thing? I know I'm repeating myself, but this point is so important. We're talking about God's church at large. Not just this church, not just Lighthouse, not just the steeple. We're talking about the church in the world. Your home, your workplace, the corner store, your neighborhood. Everywhere you go, you represent God's church. Go and make disciples, God said. Go and make disciples were Jesus' words. I'm going to ask this question now, but I'm going to ask it again of you later. So let it simmer in your mind for a while. What opportunities has God been directing to you to help him build his church? What opportunities has God been directing to you to help him build his church? I've asked Trevor to come up and share today. Trevor, why don't you come on up? We're going to sit on our stools on opposite sides of the platform up here in front of you. Yeah, I'll grab that one over there. You're on this mic. Yeah, that mic's been sanitized. And do our thing here. Do everything we can to stay safe and lead by example. So thanks, Trevor, for agreeing to come up here and share.
No problem.
And you know that question I was going to ask you, I give you a heads up on, I'm not going to ask you that.
Okay.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. So it's the same question essentially I just asked. What opportunity or opportunities has God placed before you, can be recently or in the past, to help him, to partner with him in building his church?
Okay. Yeah, so I guess it was a few years ago, a friend of mine, well, he wasn't a friend, but a thing that Dale and I would always do in town, if anything new opens up, we would just make sure that we went there to support it, you know, the first time. And, you know, if it's a restaurant, if it's a new little store, we would just go just to kind of show our support. And so a sandwich shop opened up down on Richmond Street, and this guy opened it up, and the sandwiches were really good, corned beef sandwiches, and so it was really good. And with my profession, I have quite a bit of free time. I mean, my kids keep me busy, but I do have quite a bit of free time during the day. So I said, you know, you're starting out. If you ever need help, you know, I can give you a hand. And at first, you know, he was like, oh, I appreciate it, but it's okay. Like nobody, you know, I guess people are expecting me to get paid. And so, you know, I just said, I'm not looking to make any money. I just, you know, you got a new business and I'd just like to help you out. And I guess a thing that's kind of important to this story is the guy who owned the shop, he was a Muslim and I'm a Christian. And the thing about that is, looking back, we have a friendship now. But at the time, you know, he has his preconceived things on what he thinks Christianity is, and maybe I had my things about what I would think about, you know, the Muslim faith. So over time, I would just go in and help him. Sometimes I would just bring in the sales. Sometimes I would, help him make sandwiches and, you know, just do little odd jobs so that he could establish his business. And at the time, I didn't really think of it as any type of ministry. It was just trying to be a friend to somebody. But as I look back and with this question, it was a seed was being sown, and I really praise God for it, because it is, he had, you know, I don't want to make this sound like it was just like smooth sailing, perfect. There were times where, you know, he would say something and it would make me mad. There was times where I'd say something and I would make him mad. And but through it, we ended up coming to an understanding, because there were things that he would try to say, well, this is what you believe. And I would say, let's call a timeout right here. How about this? You tell me what you believe, and I will tell you what I believe. Huh. And then we can get somewhere. And we had an understanding, and he's still a Muslim, I'm still a Christian. But the thing is, I believe that a seed was sown, and I don't know what the fruit is, but the beauty of it all is, you could look at it as if we are miles and miles apart, but then you could look at it, and the way that I look at it is like he's this close from accepting Jesus into his life. So whatever God chooses to do, I'm just grateful. I just was just trying to be a friend, really, but I'm grateful that a seed was sown, and as a matter of fact, I knew I was sharing today this, but we had company over yesterday, but he just gave me a call yesterday, so I didn't end up talking to him, but I think it was just a little confirmation, just to kind of share this story, and my prayer is that one day, you know, that light will, you know, just kind of go on and say, you know, that Jesus is, you know, is who Trevor said he is, and I pray that him and his family and, you know, that whole faith would come to the realization of who Jesus actually is. So that's just my, just me trying to be, you know, me, and I think by me just being me, you know, I think God is using me, and you know, I like the sound of being used by God, so I just pray that he would continue to use me. And just want to encourage anybody else, if, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you realize that God was using you after you were just being yourself for a little while. So just want to encourage everybody at that, and that's the end of that question. From
Living Stones, right? That's I wanted to make this real, right? I can stand up there and, hey, this and that, give a nice talk, but I wanted to make this real. That's real. Living Stones, God speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking to Trevor to get involved, to be a friend, to offer help, and to be not an argumentative witness, to be a loving witness. So the back half of this question, and this one's not quite as easy, and maybe if there's something you can share to encourage the folks, how did you tell that was an opportunity that God wanted you to do that? I mean, he gave you confirmation last night that he wanted you to share this one mm-hmm. today. That's for sure. But in the beginning, how did you, you know, oh man, am I really supposed to go and help, you know? Or how did you confirm, or how did the Holy Spirit confirm that this was one of those living stone opportunities that God wanted you to do? Because so many things hit us in this world. Like, we can't do everything. Mm-hmm. How do you and God communicate like that?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I mean, I came to this realization afterwards, but it's just me, just I think just being myself, and my alarm clock every morning is the song I'm Available. So it's just an old Christian song, Lord, I'm available to you. I'm not gonna sing it, but that's just what I wanna be every morning, is just be available to God. So like I said, looking back on it, I was just trying to be friendly. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, it was God just wanting me to be me in my community and shining the light of Christ. And I think as this happened, the joy and knowing that it was from God is that he would tell me what I believed as a Christian. And I just thank God that there was time spent in the Bible ahead of time so that when somebody says, well, you as Christians believe this, I could say, well, no, we don't believe that. Or, you know, what you're saying is maybe this, but you're changing this word. And just what it ended up doing was causing me to make sure I know what I believe as a Christian. And not to win an argument by any means. Rabbi Zacharias, and, you know, rest in peace. I miss him. But the thing that he always said is behind every question is a questioner. So you need to treat that person with the love that and respect that we would want to return, we would want in return. And so sometimes I guess the answer is I didn't really know that it was God using me, but then being able to look back on it, I could just say, you know, it was God was moving, and it's helped me to be able to learn more about God, to be able to share love to somebody who we don't agree on a major topic, but we could still have like a legitimate friendship. It's something.
So it'd be fair to say then, maybe you weren't 100% sure, but you just stepped out and let God confirm it through the process.
Yeah.
Just take the courage and step out and be that living stone mm-hmm. to someone.
Yeah. And it's amazing what God would do. Like we're both athletes, and he's a big basketball player, and I play basketball, and just our friendship, he just invited me to go play basketball. And I think sometimes I say God just makes sure that he takes care of us. I've explained this to Trevor, but when we went that day to play basketball, it was like God was on my side, because I couldn't miss. Like, literally, I was just,
nice.
I could not miss. And it was just comforting to know, like, we could be, components, but, God is working on my behalf to make sure that I didn't go out there and kind of embarrass myself, embarrass God, because nobody else may look at it that way, but that's kind of my way of kind of looking at things. But God is always working, and just want to be available to him.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Trevor. So we're going to do something a little different already again this Sunday morning. I like to change it up. For 5 minutes, we're going to pretend that we're a small group, and we're in a workshop. This isn't Sunday morning service. We're in a workshop for 5 minutes. You've got a cue card handed to you and a pen, right? Does everyone have a cue card and a pen? If you don't, just put up your hand and Trevor will get one to you. Yeah, that's it. Right behind me. That's it, right behind me. I think it's important that we try and apply. So take 5 minutes. What opportunity is God placing before you to partner with him in building his church? What opportunity is God placing before you to partner with him in building his church? Let's take 5. Go ahead and write that down. Wow, some of you got some pretty big opportunities. There's smoke coming off your pens. I'm impressed. That was just confirmation in my spirit that God wanted us to do this today. If you're still not done, or you know, you had a roadblock and you didn't hear it yet and you didn't write it yet, that's okay. That's okay. I encourage you to continue this process this afternoon or tomorrow. Doesn't matter when, just do it. Just do it. Just step out and do it. This is the first step, committing to serve God in a way that maybe you haven't before. What is that living stone application for you? What is it that God wants you to reach out and partner with Him in doing? Who is it He wants you to speak to? So take that cue card when it's done and put it somewhere prominent for you. Maybe it's on the fridge, maybe it's on the bathroom mirror, maybe it's on the dash of your car. But do it. Just step out and do it. It'll encourage you to keep doing it. Thank you for doing that, for participating. Let's move on. We started talking about the changes in the world recently, the difficulties that have happened to us because of the pandemic, the effect they have had on us. So let's continue this path in a biblical perspective. You want to talk to someone that's had trouble, talk to Job, right? Talk to Job. Job was a God-fearing, prosperous man. And yet God allowed Satan to sift Job and essentially take everything other than his life and his wife. He went through unspeakable hardships. He even lost his children. No thanks. I'll pass on that trial. I agree. I'd rather pass on that trial. But the question comes to us then, how or why would God allow such hardships to befall one of his faithful followers? I mean, I get it if, you know, someone is living a horrendous lifestyle, there's consequences for the things they do. But Job was a righteous, prosperous man, and God allowed him to see some pretty tough trials. We don't have the time to go through the book of Job today, but I encourage you to read the whole thing and remind yourself of that process God took Job through. Job knew God well at the beginning of the book, but by the end of the book and the trial he went through, Job knew God a lot better. And his faith. Wow, what happened to his faith? Listen to what Job said near the end of the book. Job 42, 2 and 3. I know you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. God used the trials in Job's life to grow his faith. Job praised God, and God restored him at the end. Why has God allowed COVID-19? Maybe the answer to that question is another question. Maybe the answer to that question is another question. Is there anyone in this world that is qualified to question God? Is there anyone in this world that is qualified to question God? I haven't met that person yet. Sometimes we do it, but we're not qualified. We are not qualified. So, in summary from this section of the sermon, we can park on these points from Scripture. And these are Scripture points. Number one, nothing happens in this world without God's permission. Nothing happens in this world without God's permission. Lamentations 3:37. Number two, God sends good times and bad. Ouch, but it's true. Isaiah 45:7. There is no one qualified to question what God does. Job 42:3. God will build his church. Matthew 16:18. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. 1 Peter 2:4. And number six, the final one. Believers in Jesus are the living stones of the church, which God uses to build his church at large. 1 Peter 2:5. This last section, I wasn't sure whether I was going to use this or not, and I told my wife, I won't know till I'm up here, but I'm supposed to use this section. Whether you're here in church today or you're listening online, I have three more questions for you. You know I'm the question guy. Number one, do you love God? Do you love God? Number two, do you trust Him with everything you have? Do you trust God with everything you have? Number three, do you trust Him with your life? With the lives of your family? In other words, if God took everything you have from you, would you still praise Him? Would you still praise Him? If there was even a microsecond of hesitation in you to respond yes to those questions, even a moment of hesitation, I ask you to please close your eyes and listen to these foundational truths from God's Word. Actually, everyone close their eyes and listen to these truths. I want you not to be distracted. I just want you to hear God's truth. Very familiar truth, but we need to keep hearing it over and over. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. God loves you so much, He sent His Son to die in your place. Do you love God? Do you trust Him? If He took everything from you, would you still praise Him? He loves you so much, He sent His Son to die in your place, to redeem you. The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus went to the cross for you. He paid your debt to set you free for eternity. If you haven't done so before, I hope you accept this free gift from God. Jesus paid the highest price for it so He could give it to you. Eyes closed, let me pray for you. I pray for anyone listening here today, in this building or online, whatever time of day it is, wherever you are, that God would open the eyes of your heart and open your ears to understand the truth of His salvation. That He would reveal to you the folly of believing that you can live your life on your own terms and in your own strength without Him. That's folly. Reveal it to them, Lord. Reveal it to us. I pray that God would clearly show us how much love He has for us and how much He loves you, and that He would help you accept that free gift of salvation. It's free to us, but you paid that price because of your love for us. If you've never accepted this truth, if you've never opened your heart to the love of Jesus, here's your opportunity. The Holy Spirit is knocking on your door, knocking on your heart's door. And He wants to come in, and He wants to give you peace. Amen. You can open your eyes. If God spoke to you in that prayer time, I really encourage you to come talk to me after the service. I'd love to hear what He had to say. But we're not quite through. As I close, I want to speak to those of us that already know Jesus. And I want to share 2 points with you. Number one, whatever you are facing now or in the future, remember this truth from God. And it's as basic as it comes, and you know this verse. But it has to always travel from here down to here. In all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. I don't think I need to explain that verse or break it down. I need to repeat it again. Listen carefully. In all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. It's Romans 8:28. We love to quote that verse as believers. But how deep does it go? In all things. This truth puts anything you will ever face in perspective. Anything you will ever face. Trial this big. God this big. God is sovereign. He is for you. He is sovereign and He is for you. And the second point, we heard from Trevor earlier about opportunities God has given him to partner in building God's church. That was real. That was actual stuff, recent things that have happened that God showed Trevor. And God shows us those things. And do you remember from last week, right here in this pulpit, Pastor Adrian spoke about hell. Do you remember? He emphasized how important it is for us to tell the truth to others about God's saving love, that they would be saved from an eternity of suffering. This is serious stuff. So let's put some of this together. Living stone opportunities to build the church at large. Maybe your task in building God's church, maybe your opportunity is to share God's message with someone who doesn't know His love yet. Maybe that's what you're writing on your cue card. Maybe that's what you're going to write on that cue card when you leave. I don't know. God will reveal it. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. We're to partner with God. We are His living stones, His holy priests. And it's our responsibility to share the truth. We have this peace that others don't have yet. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those of us that already know You. We are grateful. We are grateful children. You've given us peace. You've given us joy. You've given us hope. You've given us salvation. I pray that You would clearly show us the opportunities You create for us to partner with You, to be living stones, to share the truth of Your love and salvation to those that do not yet know You, to those that the truth has been hidden, or things of this world have gotten in the way, or they haven't been able to overcome. It's not that, Lord, we're going to get them to overcome. Our job is to speak. Our job is to love. Our job is to help. You do the heavy lifting, Lord. You're the one, the Holy Spirit, that comes in and changes the hearts. We pray, we speak, You do. Father, give us all boldness in the days ahead to love and show the love to others and share the gospel message in love. It is our responsibility. You've told us so. You have clearly directed us. You've equipped us, and You've told us not to be afraid. You've told us to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, because You are with us wherever You go, wherever we go. We love You, Lord. We thank You for the truth of Your word. Send us out, Lord. As someone once said, go out and give them heaven. Use us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.